Chapter 30. The Way of the Predator. Perrin and Gaul did another dismayed round of Egwene's camp, at least the little bit of it that reflected in the wolf dream. Her army had been pushed far to the east, and the tents had not been placed long enough at the river to reflect strongly in the wolf dream. The wolves had spotted Grendel here, but Perrin had not been able to catch her at whatever she was doing. 3 times now Slayer had tried attacking the boar, and the wolves had warned Perrin. Each time Slayer had withdrawn before Perrin arrived. The man was testing them. It was the way of the predator, surveying the herd, searching for the weak. At least Perrin's plan with the wolves had worked. Time progressed slowly in the boar, and so Slayer, by necessity, was slowed down as he tried to reach Rand. That gave Perrin a chance to reach him in time.
"We need to warn the others about Grendel,"
Perrin said, stopping in the center of camp.
"She must be communicating with dark friends in our camps."
"Perhaps we could go to those at the boar. You managed to speak to Nynaeve Sedai."
"Maybe," Perrin said. "I don't know if it would be good to distract Nynaeve again, considering what she is up to."
Perrin turned about, looking at the bedrolls that flickered, then vanished in the wolf dream. He and Gaul had checked at Marilor for a gateway, but none was there currently. If he wanted to go back to the waking world, he'd need to camp there and wait for hours. It seemed like such a waste. If only he could figure out how to shift back to the real world himself. Lanfear implied that he might be able to learn the trick, but his only clue on how to do so lay in Slayer. Perrin tried remembering the moment when the man had shifted out. Had Perrin sensed anything? A hint to how Slayer did what he did? He shook his head. He'd gone over and over that, and had come to no conclusions. With a sigh, he quested out for the wolves.
"Any sign of Heartseeker?"
he asked hopefully. The wolves sent amusement. He had been asking them too frequently.
"Have you seen any camps of two legs, then?"
Perrin sent. This earned a vague response. Wolves paid attention to men only to avoid them. In the wolf dream, that didn't matter much. Still, where men congregated, nightmares sometimes ran wild, so the wolves had learned to keep their distance. He would have liked to know how the other battles were progressing. What of Elaine's army, Perrin's men, Lord and Lady Bashir? Perrin led Gaul away. They ran with quick strides rather than jumping to a place immediately. Perrin wanted to think. The longer he remained in the wolf dream in the flesh, the more he felt that he should know how to shift back. His body seemed to understand that this place was not natural for it. He hadn't slept here, despite... how long had it been? He could not say. They were almost at the end of their rations, though he felt as though he and Gaul had been here only a handful of hours. Part of that sensation was caused by frequent approaches to the boar to check on the dream spike, but it was generally so easy to lose track of time here. There was also an ache of fatigue inside him, growing stronger. He didn't know if he could sleep in this place. His body wanted rest, but had forgotten how to find it. It reminded him a little of when Moiraine had dispelled their fatigue while fleeing the two rivers all that time ago. 2 years now. A very long 2 years. Perrin and Gaul inspected Land's camp next. It was even more ephemeral than Egwene's. Using the wolf dream for surveillance here was pointless. Land moved with lots of cavalry, retreating at speed. He and his men did not remain in one place long enough to reflect in the wolf dream except in the most fleeting of ways. There were no signs of Grendel.
"Annalaine is retreating too,"
Gaul guessed, surveying the rocky ground that they thought was Land's camp. There were no tents here, just the occasional fleeting appearance of sleeping rings marked by a pole at the center where horsemen would hobble their animals. Gaul looked up, scanning the landscape to the west.
"If they keep falling back from here, they will eventually reach the field of Marilor again. Perhaps that is the goal."
"Perhaps,"
Perrin said.
"I want to visit Elaine's battlefront and—"
"Young bull,"
a wolf called to him. He found the voice of the sending to be familiar somehow.
"She is here." "Here?"
Perrin sent.
"Heartseeker? Come."
Perrin grabbed Gaul by the arm and shifted them far to the north. Grindal, was it Sheol Ghul? Was she trying to break in and kill Rand? They arrived on a ledge overlooking the valley. He and Gaul went down immediately to their stomachs, peering over the edge, inspecting the valley. An old, grizzled wolf appeared beside Perrin. He knew this wolf, he was certain of it. The scent was familiar, but he could not place a name to him, and the wolf did not send one.
"Where?"
Perrin whispered.
"Is she in the cavern?" "No,"
the grizzled wolf sent.
"There."
The wolf sent an image of tents clustered in the valley just below the entrance to the cavern. She had not been spotted in this valley since that first time Perrin had caught her here. Aitaralda's troops had been holding here for long enough that their tents were becoming more and more stable in the wolf dream. Perrin shifted carefully down below. Gaul and the wolf joined him as he prowled forward, relying on the wolf's sending to lead him.
"There,"
the wolf said, nodding toward a large tent at the center. Perrin had seen Grendel here before, at this tent, the tent of Rodal Aitaralda. Perrin froze as the tent's flap rustled. Grendel stepped out. She looked as she had before, with a face like a slab of rock. Perrin created a thin, painted wall to hide himself, but he needn't have bothered. Grendel immediately created a gateway and stepped into the waking world. It was night there, though time passed at such a strange rate this close to the boar, that might not mean much for the rest of the world. Perrin could see the same tent darkly on the other side of the gateway. Two Demoni guards out front. Grendel waved a hand, and both stood up straighter and saluted her. The gateway began to close as Grendel slipped into the tent. Perrin hesitated, then shifted to stand just in front of the gateway. He had a moment to decide.
Follow?
No. He had to keep watch on Slayer. However, being this close, he felt something, an awareness. Stepping through that gateway would be like waking up. The gateway snapped shut. Perrin felt a stab of regret, but knew staying in the wolf dream had been right. Rand was all but defenseless against Slayer here. He would need Perrin's help.
"We need to send a warning,"
Perrin said.
"I suppose I could take the message for you, young bull," said the unnamed wolf.
Perrin froze, then spun, pointing.
"Elias!" "I am Longtooth here, young bull."
Elias sent amusement.
"I thought you said you didn't come here." "I said I avoided it. This place is strange and dangerous. I have enough strangeness and danger in my life in the other world."
The wolf sat down on his haunches.
"But someone needed to check on you, foolish pup."
Perrin smiled. Elias's thoughts were a strange mix of wolf and human. His way of sending was very wolf-like, but the way he thought of himself was too individual, too human.
"How goes the fight?"
Perrin asked eagerly. Gaul took up position nearby, watching, alert, in case Grendel or Slayer appeared. The field before them, the floor of the valley, was quiet for once. The winds had died down, the dust on the sandy ground stirring in small rifts and ripples, like water.
"I do not know of the other battlefields," Elias sent, "and we wolves stay far from the two legs. We fight, here and there, at the edges of the battle. Mostly we have attacked the Twisted Ones and Neverborn from the other side of the canyon, where there are no two legs except those strange Aiel. It is a grueling fight. Shadow Killer must do quick work. We have stood 5 days, but may not last many more."
5 days here in the north. Much longer had passed in the rest of the world since Rand entered to face the Dark One. Rand himself was so close to the boar that it was likely only hours, maybe minutes, had passed for him. Perrin could feel how time moved differently when he drew near to where Rand fought.
"I Torolda," Perrin said, scratching at his beard. "He's one of the great captains."
"Yes," Elias sent, smelling of amusement. "Some call him Little Wolf."
"Bashir is with Elaine's army," Perrin said. "And Garth Bryn is with Egwene. Agilmar is with the Borderlanders in Lan."
"I do not know."
"He is. Four battlefronts, four great captains."
"That's what she's doing."
"Grendel?" Gaul asked.
"Yes," Perrin said, anger gathering. "She's doing something to them, changing their minds, corrupting them. I overheard her saying, 'Yes, that's it, I'm certain. Instead of fighting our armies with armies of her own, she plans to bring down the great captains.' Elias, do you know how a man can shift in and out of the wolf dream in the flesh?"
"Even if I knew this thing, which I do not, I would not teach it to you," Elias said with a growl. "Has nobody told you it is a terrible, dangerous thing you do?"
"Too many," Perrin said.
"Light, we need to warn Bashir. I must—"
"Perrin Ebarra," Gaul said, pointing.
"He is here."
Perrin spun to see a dark blur streak upward toward the entrance to the Pit of Doom. Wolves whimpered and died. Others howled, beginning the hunt. This time Slayer did not back away. The way of the predator. Two or three quick lunges to determine weakness, then an all-out attack.
"Wake,"
Perrin called to Elias, running up the incline.
"Warn Elaine, Egwene, anyone you can. And if you cannot, stop Itaralda somehow. The great captains are being corrupted. One of the Forsaken controls their minds, and their tactics cannot be trusted."
"I will do it, young bull," Elias sent, fading.
"Go to Rand, Gaul," Perrin roared. "Guard the way to him. Do not let any of those red bales pass you."
Perrin summoned his hammer to his hands, not waiting for a reply, then shifted to confront Slayer. Rand clashed with Moradin, sword against sword, standing before the darkness that was the essence of the Dark One. The cold expanse was somehow both infinite and empty. Rand held so much of the One power that he nearly burst. He would need that strength in the fight to come. For now, he resisted Moradin's sword against sword. He wielded Kalendor as a physical weapon, fighting as if with a sword made of light itself, parrying Moradin's attacks. Each step Rand took dripped blood to the ground. Nynaeve and Moiraine clung to the stalagmites as if something were battering them, a wind that Rand could not sense. Nynaeve closed her eyes. Moiraine stared straight ahead as if determined not to look away, no matter the price. Rand turned aside Moradin's latest attack, the blades throwing sparks. He had always been the better swordsman of the two during the Age of Legends. He had lost his hand, but thanks to Tam, that no longer mattered as it once might have. And he was also wounded. This place changed things. Rocks on the ground seemed to move, and he often stumbled. The air grew alternately musty and dry, then humid and moldy. Time slipped around them like a stream. Rand felt as if he could see it. Each blow here took moments, yet hours passed outside. He scored Moradin across the arm, drawing his blood to spray against the wall.
"My blood and yours," Rand said. "I have you to thank for this wound in my side, Aelon. You thought you were the Dark One, didn't you? Has he punished you for that?"
"Yes," Moradin snarled. "He returned me to life."
Moradin came swinging hard in a two-handed blow. Rand stepped backward, catching the blow on Kalendor, but he misjudged the slope of the ground. Either that or the slope changed on him. Rand stumbled, the blow forcing him down on one knee. Blade against blade. Rand's leg slipped backward and brushed the darkness behind, which waited like a pool of ink. All went black.
The distant Ogier song was comforting to Elaine, as she slumped in her saddle atop the hill just north of Kyrian. The women around her weren't in any better shape than she was. Elaine had gathered all of the kinswomen who could hold on to Saidar, no matter how weak or tired, and formed two circles with them. She had 12 with her in her own circle, but their collective strength in the power at the moment was barely more than that of a single Aes Sedai. Elaine had stopped channeling in an attempt to let the women recover. Most of them slumped in their saddles or sat on the ground. In front of them extended a ragged battle line. Men fought desperately before the Kyrianan hills, trying to hold against the sea of Trollocs. Their victory over the northern Trolloc army had been short-lived, as they now found themselves strung out, exhausted, and in serious danger of being surrounded by the southern one.
"We almost managed," Arganda said from beside her, shaking his head. "We almost made it."
He wore a plume in his helmet. It had belonged to Galen. Elaine hadn't been there when the Mayenner commander had fallen. That was the frustrating part. They were close. Despite Bashir's betrayal, despite the unexpected arrival of the southern force, they had almost pulled it off. If she'd had more time to position her men, if they'd been able to catch more than a moment's breather between defeating the northern army and then turning to meet this southern one. But that was not the case. Nearby, the proud Ogier fought to protect the dragons, but the Ogier were slowly being overrun. The ancient creatures had begun to collapse, like felled trees pulled down by Trollocs. One by one, their songs broke off. Arganda held a bloodied hand to his side, pale-faced, barely able to speak. She didn't have the strength to heal him.
"That warder of yours is a fiend on the battlefield, Your Majesty. Her arrows fly like light itself. I'd swear..."
Arganda shook his head. He might never hold a sword again, even if healed. He should have been sent with the other wounded. Somewhere. There wasn't really anywhere to take them. The channelers were too exhausted to make gateways. Her people were fracturing. The Aiel fought in clumps, the White Cloaks nearly surrounded, the Wolf Guard in no better shape. The Legion of the Dragon heavy cavalry still rode, but Bashir's betrayal had shaken them. Now and then a dragon fired. Aludra had rolled them back up to the top of the highest hill, but they were out of ammunition, and the channelers didn't have strength to make gateways to Bearlawn to fetch the new dragon's eggs. Aludra had fired bits of armor until her powder ran low. Now they had only enough for the occasional shot. The Trollocs would push through her lines soon, fragmenting her army like ravenous lions. Elaine watched from one of the hilltops, guarded by 10 of her guardswomen. The rest had gone to fight. Trollocs broke through the Aiel to the east of her position, right near the Dragoner hilltop position. The beasts charged up the hill, killing the few Ogier defenders on that side, roaring their victory as the Dragoners pulled out sabers and grimly stood to defend. Elaine wasn't ready to let the dragons go yet. She gathered strength through the circle. Women groaned around her. She took up barely a dribble of the power, far less than she'd hoped, and directed fire at the lead Trollocs. Her attack arced in the air toward the shadow spawn. She felt she was trying to stop a storm by spitting at the wind. That lone ball of fire hit. The earth exploded beneath it, ripping the hillside and hurling dozens of Trollocs back in the air. Elaine started, causing Moonshadow to shuffle beneath her. Arganda cursed. Someone rode up beside her on a large black horse, emerging as if from smoke. The man was of medium build and had dark curls of hair down to his shoulders. Loghain looked thinner than she remembered from last time she'd seen him, his cheeks sunken, but his face was still handsome. "Loghain?" she said, shocked. The Ashaman gestured sharply. Explosions sounded all across the battlefield. Elaine turned to see over 100 men in black coats marching through a large gateway on top of her hill.
"Pull those Ogier back,"
Loghain said. His ragged voice was raw. Those eyes of his seemed darker now than they once had been.
"We will hold this position."
Elaine blinked, then nodded for Arganda to pass the command. Loghain shouldn't give orders to me, she thought absently. For the moment she let it pass. Loghain turned his horse and rode to the side of the hilltop, looking down at her army. Elaine followed, feeling numb. Trollocs fell as Ashaman called up strange attacks, gateways that seemed tied to the ground somehow. They stormed forward, killing the shadow spawn. Loghain grunted.
"You're in bad shape."
She forced her mind to work. The Ashaman were here. "Did Rand send you?"
"We sent ourselves,"
Loghain said.
"The Shadow has been planning this trap for a long time, according to notes in Taim's study. I only just managed to decipher them."
He looked at her.
"We came to you first. The Black Tower stands with the Lion of Andor."
"We need to get my people out of here," Elaine said, forcing her mind to think through the cloud of fatigue. Her army needed a queen. "Mother's milk in a cup. This is going to cost us. She'd probably lose half her force withdrawing. Better half than all of them. I'll start bringing my men back in ranks. Can you make enough gateways to lead us to safety?"
"That wouldn't be a problem,"
Loghain said absently, looking down the slope. His impassive face would have impressed any warder.
"But it will be a slaughter. There's no room for a good retreat, and your lines will grow weaker and weaker as you pull back. The last ranks will be overwhelmed and consumed."
"I don't see that we have any other choice," Elaine snapped, exhausted. Light! Here, help had come, and she was snapping. "Stop it!" She composed herself, sitting up straighter. "I mean to say that your arrival, while appreciated greatly, cannot turn a battle that is this far gone. 100 Ashaman cannot stop 100,000 Trollocs on their own. If we could arrange our battle lines better, get at least a short rest for my men. But no, that is impossible. We must retreat, unless you can produce a miracle, Lord Loghain." He smiled, perhaps at her use of Lord for him.
"Andral,"
he barked. A middle-aged Ashaman hurried over, a plump Aes Sedai joining him. Pavara? Elaine thought, too exhausted to make sense of it. A red?
"My lord,"
the man, Andral, asked.
"I need to slow that army of Trollocs long enough for the army to regroup and refield itself, Andral,"
Loghain said.
"How much will it cost us for a miracle?"
"Well, my lord," Andral said, rubbing his chin.
"That depends. How many of those women sitting back there can channel?"
It was a thing of legends. Elaine had heard of the great works performed by large circles of men and women. Every woman in the White Tower was taught of these feats from the past. Stories of different days, better days. Days when one half of the one power had not been a thing to fear. When two halves of one whole had worked together to create incredible wonders. She wasn't sure the days of legend had truly returned. Certainly the Aes Sedai during those times hadn't been so worried, so desperate. But what they did now left Elaine in awe. She joined in the circle, making the total 14 women and 12 men. She barely had any strength to lend, but her trickle added to the increasingly large stream. More importantly, a circle had to have at least one more woman than it had men, and now that she had joined, Loghain could come in last of all and add his considerable strength to the flow. At the head of this circle was Andral, an odd choice. Now that she was part of the circle, she could feel his relative strength. He was extremely weak, weaker than many women who were turned away from the tower, refused the shawl because of their lack of innate talent. Elaine and the others had relocated to the far side of the battlefield. The rest of the Ashaman held back the attacking Trolloc horde as Andral prepared. Whatever he did, it would need to be swift. Elaine still had trouble believing anything could be done. Even with this much power, even with 13 men and 14 women working together. "Light," Andral whispered, standing between her horse and Loghain's. "Is this what it feels like to be one of you people? How do you handle so much of the One Power? How do you keep it from consuming you alive, burning you away?" Pavara rested her hand on his shoulder in a gesture that was unmistakably tender. Elaine could barely rub two thoughts together amid her fatigue, but she still found herself shocked. She had not expected affection from a Red, for a man who could channel. "Move the soldiers back," Andral said softly. Elaine gave the order, worried. The man beside her had never held this kind of power before. It could go to someone's head. She had seen it happen. Light send that he knew what he was doing. The soldiers and others retreated, passing by Elaine's group. Several tired Ogier nodded to her in passing, their shoulders slumped, their arms scored with cuts. The Trollocs poured forward, but the Ashaman who weren't in the circle disrupted their attack with weaves of the One Power. It wasn't enough. Though the Ashaman fought well, there were just so many Trollocs. The Ashaman could not stop this tide. What did Loghain think could be done? Andral smiled widely and held his hands out in front of himself as if pressing against a wall. He closed his eyes. 3,000 years ago, the Lord Dragon created Dragonmount to hide his shame. His rage still burns hot. Today, I bring it to you, Your Majesty. A beam of light split the air, easily 100 feet tall. Moonshadow shied back and Elaine frowned. Why a column of light? What good would that... The beam of light began to twist in the air, rotating upon itself. Only then did Elaine recognize it for the start of a gateway. An enormous gateway, large enough to swallow buildings. She could have moved an entire wing of the Camelin Palace through that thing. The air shimmered in front of them, the way a gateway always looked from behind. She couldn't see where the gateway was leading. Did they have an army waiting on the other side? She could see the expressions on the slavering Trolloc faces as they looked into the opening. Absolute horror. They broke away, running, and Elaine felt a sudden heat, almost overpowering. Something exploded out of the gateway as if pushed by an incredible force. A column of lava 100 feet in diameter, blazing hot. The column broke apart as the lava crashed down, splashing to the battlefield, gushing forward in a river. The Ashaman outside the circle used weaves of air to keep it from splashing back on the circle and to shepherd it in the right direction. The river of fire washed through the foremost Trolloc ranks, consuming them, destroying hundreds in an eye blink. The lava was under pressure on the other side. That was the only way she could explain the force with which it sprayed from the enormous gateway, turning Trollocs into cinders, burning a large swath through their army. Andral held the gateway for long minutes as the Shadow's army pulled back. Ashaman to the sides used gusts of wind to blow the Shadow Spawn back into the ever-widening river. By the time Andral finished, he had created a barrier of red-hot death between Elaine's army and the bulk of the Trollocs, whose backs were against the northern walls of Kyrian. Andral took a breath, closed the gateway, then pivoted and made two others in quick succession, one pointing southeast, the other southwest. A second and third column of lava spurted forth, smaller this time, as Andral was obviously weakened. These went tumbling over the land to the east and west of Kyrian, singeing away dead weeds and casting smoke into the air. Some of the Trolloc army had pulled back, but many others had perished, boxed in, with the walled city on one side and lava on others. It would be some time before the Fades could organize the survivors to resume their attacks on Elaine's forces. Andral let the gateway close. He slumped, but Pavara caught him.
"One miracle, my lord," Andral said, voice soft as if strained. "Delivered as requested. That should hold them back for a few hours. Long enough."
"Long enough," Elaine said. "We will be able to regroup, bring through supplies for the dragons, and fetch as many Aes Sedai from Mayen as we can get to heal our men and wash away their fatigue. Then we can sort through who is strong enough to continue and reposition our ranks for a much more effective battle."
"You intend to keep fighting?" Andral asked, surprised.
"Yes," Elaine said. "I can barely stand, but yes. We cannot afford to leave that Trolloc horde here intact. You and your men give us an edge, Loghain. We will use it, and everything we have, and we will destroy them."